Celebrating a community's diverse culture and colorful traditions are a path for a truly sustainable future. The Agave Heritage Festival in Tucson, Arizona is a brilliant example of just that, exploring and celebrating the cultural, commercial, and culinary significance of the agave across the border. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. From Agave University to exciting panel discussions to art openings and live demonstrations about agave roasting and fiber crafts, Tucson really is alive with all things agave during this festival. It's one of the establishments that's at the epicenter of pretty much all things downtown that we are going to be focusing on today and getting more information about the festival. But it's what I lovingly call the Hotel Congress Complex. Maynard's Market and Kitchen is a part of that complex. And as part of the festival, Maynard's Market and Kitchen will host Agave, a spirit without borders. People attending will learn about the politics and practices of agave distillation from a commercial and domestic approach, while exploring the benefits and challenges of the industry in the emerging U.S. agave industry. And it's big. It's like I went last year and then you become alive with all things agave. So please join me in welcoming the hub of that epicenter and someone that I really love to tease. So we have to get ready for a little of that. Todd Hanley. Todd is the general manager of Hotel Congress, Maynard's Market and Kitchen, and has an incredible team around him that made good things happen for Tucson every day. And when I say it's a hub, for those of the people that listen to this show outside of Tucson, when you come to Tucson, if you want to know what the hub is, you want to start there. Start your tour of Tucson at Downtown Hotel Congress, and you'll know exactly what I mean. So, Todd, do you think you're ready for this?
I am 100% ready, and if you are going to tease me, be careful what you ask for.
Game on. Game on,
boy. I know.
He knows how to give it back.
We have a very spirited conversation and relationship, so I look forward to the next 30 minutes talking to you about all things Agave, Hotel Congress, and Maynard's Market and Kitchen.
I know. I love it. I was grinning a lot when I was preparing for it. But before we dive in, just a very quick tip from another great Mrs. Green's World partner, Tucson Electric Power Company. And it's another great tip. Take shorter showers, people. Cutting a 15-minute shower in half can substantially save on your yearly hot water costs. And if you're listening to this and you're one of those people who take 20-minute showers, I would love for you to email me and tell me just exactly how you can spend 20 minutes in the shower. I am not that person.
I would say, Gina,
Todd,
who has 15 minutes to take a shower?
My granddaughter. Granddaughter. And it's like, what, Madison, what are you doing in the shower for 20 minutes? So I would love to know what people do, if it's something you feel like you can share. And I have to add that shorter showers will not only help you save on your electric bill, but it will reduce your water consumption. And it's something that we all need to care about in the desert, because it adds up to a healthier community if we are conscious about our water consumption. So I would say this is true. Todd's enthusiasm about this festival is contagious. You just can't be around any of that complex or Todd. That's really fun. I'm going to pay for that one. Around Todd without realizing. I mean, it's really, as the younger generation says, it's really a thing. And what I thought we'd do before we go into the Agave Festival, how can we talk about that without really talking about what, under your leadership and some of your team members, about the greening of Congress, the amazing green team, and how you are, to me, the epicenter for a sustainable property in a very old building. It's not like it was easy to do some of the things you do. So could you just talk for a minute about the complex and some of the efforts? And if you don't have them at the tip of your tongue, which I'm sure you do, I can fill in.
Well, I mean, we're doing so much. I mean, the effort to not just simply recycle, which has been a part of our business model since Rise used to pick up cardboard and glass 15 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, that gives you perspective. That's one element. Our staff is so bought into the prep cooks, the line cooks are working to use any and all of the food waste that can be turned into compost. That's going straight to the composting container, out to compost cats. We've reduced all of our straw usage, which is one small step, but so impactful and such a kind of a lightning rod, almost kind of tipping point for us as kind of how important to our business sustainability is. I mean, everything we do to compost and not only recycle is just a part of the fabric of the business. I mean, go back almost a decade, maybe now a decade, we instituted EcoBlue, and it probably saved well over 2 million gallons in water. It's just really, truly a part of the fabric of our business. Even Maynard's Marketing Kitchen, which was a little bit slow on the draw, is now saying things that just make you smile. And when it comes to using to-go cups, using, you know, less water, easy, easy things like that. I mean, nothing groundbreaking, probably not going to solve the world's climate change issues, but at least raising awareness and setting a standard and living, you know, walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
And EcoBlue, that's waterless urinals. I mean, that's, people might not know what EcoBlue is. And then there's the whole thing that you've done by stepping up as one of the first ones for the 2030 district, which is committed to reducing your electric use, your water use, and your energy use by 30% by the year 2030. I mean, it's a big deal, and it's leadership. And I have to say, as part of the Green Team, when the members of the Green Team, it's all voluntary, I might add, start coming with lists of things that they're noticing that they would love to have change, like ramekins. Let's not have plastic ramekins, and let's not give these napkins out, and let's not do this, and let's not do that. Then, you know, it's not a mandate from the top down. It's a corporate culture, and people have come to you with ideas, and some of them cost money, and you've supported it, and you have a signature glass straw, which I was one of the first recipients of, that says Hotel Congress, that I carry in my purse, but which was from a locally owned straw company. There's all of those things. You had water and energy audits, and it's, the Hotel Congress is a historic site. It's old. So to make those changes when you're building a new, you know, when you're building or redoing a building that's 20 years old is one thing, but to take it on a Congress, it's pretty amazing. You're right. And the Maynards, shout out to the Maynards team, because I used to like kind of take a deep breath when I was going to meet with them. And now I can't wait. And more people come and they're enthusiastic and we have fun and we're just up in our game every chance we get. So,
and I'll say this too, Gina, you touched upon getting rid of the plastic ramekins. We actually are no longer using basically a single use plastic butter cup. We're using cutting pads of butter. Again, I think what I see is just more of a culture. And when you have a culture of anything, hopefully positive, then that bodes well for change. And I'll also say that when you have guests who take note of those types of changes, that again becomes a bigger part of a larger culture that hopefully continues to create momentum as we move forward. Because you know, and you read the article yesterday, that the city of Tucson is contemplating no longer recycling paper and glass because it's no longer cost effective. And that to me is, that's literally like one step forward and a sprint backwards for a marathon, you know, 26.2 miles. It's unbelievable that we can even consider. I realize reduces the first part of any real change, but guess how long did it take to change the behavior just to recycle? So if we pull back on recycling after decades of, you know, kind of almost indoctrination of trying to recycle, and it's just going to be so dramatic. So, but positive steps forward. We're making a difference as a community. Tucson is doing wonderful things overall. So,
we're setting the bar. It's you guys do it, and you want your clientele to know that it's something you're proud of. There's information on the tables. There's branding, brand identity around the properties. And I just have to say this: you knew that I was going to weave this in somehow, but I got home about midnight last night from going up to the Arizona Speaker Series and getting to spend 20 minutes, Meredith and I, alone with Jane Goodall. And it's like, it's a lifetime achievement for me. Like she is a one of. We talked about it for 2 hours on the way home. And one of the things she talked about was with us and on the stage after she went on the stage is, you know, the terrible challenges we have because of overconsumption. And she talks specifically, of course, about the devastation of the rainforest, which is where she started her work, but about the pollution of the oceans. And, you know, I'm not sure if I actually knew, even until recently, and I shouldn't admit this on the air, how do the oceans get so full of plastics? Okay, how does it? Barges are typically not allowed to, you know, there's all kinds of international policy about dumping, but it's really because of weather. That's a big part of it, because there's these massive amounts of things in landfills and in ocean, in dumps that don't have the protections that we do in the United States. And yes, a lot of the ocean plastic is from runoff. Plastic bottles. So it's like, it is important, even living in Tucson, Arizona, that you're conscious of where your plastic goes. And it's a big, scary problem that we have to do, because we need the oceans. They are the biggest lungs of the earth. And when we start shutting them down, which we are in places, it matters. And the people at Congress and Maynard's, they get it. And even the cleaning staff, the people that clean the rooms, and what you sell in the rooms, like I could wax poetic about, all of the things in the rooms are from local markets. There, or within the state of Arizona, there's boxed water, not a, a bottled water from Sedona. And all of the products, the skincare products, it's all, you're supporting a healthy local economy that means sustainability.
Okay. Let me tell you this too, and this is important for all of your podcast listeners out there. My children, so on whatever generation they are, my daughter is 10, my other daughter's 12. My daughter just did a Toastmaster presentation she did out of Mark Kelly, but one of the Toastmasters was on Jane Goodall. I say this only because this generation of kids, they are truly a very big part of this long-term change. They're a hope. They're a beacon. They're a generation that has grown up on elements of sustainability and recycling and awareness towards our environment. So just perspective, because the speech on Jane Goodall by one of my daughter's sister was pretty fun to hear. And then to hear you meet her up in Phoenix, there is hope. There is no reason to be pessimistic. There just is every reason to be pragmatic and make every step you can moving forward to be a steward of your business, of your environment, of your community. And if you aren't, then you're not putting forth the effort.
And I can't believe you said that. I really can't, because when we spent time with her, we started going down an upsetting trail, because my passion is the extinction of wolves and fighting to protect the wolves. And she said, we can't start talking about anything upsetting. There's so many things upsetting. So I said, do you have hope, Dr. Jane? And she said, cautiously, with the leadership in our country right now and in China and Brazil, it's worrisome. But she said, you know what gives me hope is the children. So you said this on the air, and she said, it's the children. And she is on the road 300 days of the year. She said these words. She goes, why do you think I'm still doing this? I'm going to be 85 years old. But the children need to hear the message. And the Roots and Shoots program is now officially in 50 countries. And she said, when you see their faces and you see their enthusiasm and you see them beginning to get connected to nature, they are the hope. So it just fit in perfectly. And I'm never going to forget it. I'm on a Jane Goodall high for at least another week. I can tell you that right now. We're in the car. We're saying, we just spent 20 minutes with Jane Goodall. So it was pretty cool. And then we heard her presentation for an hour and 20 minutes. So back to the Agave Heritage Festival. You really are enthusiastic about it. And I caught the fever last year. Katie and I went to a couple of things. Meredith, we went to some of the events that are all over the city. Why are you so enthusiastic about it? What do you love?
Well, the story is I run a large nightclub, restaurants, hotel, but I never wanted to be kind of shoehorned into just running restaurants or hotels or nightclubs. I wanted to always try and create authentic, experiential types of opportunities for everybody that's coming into Tucson Hotel Congress. So I stumbled upon this festival, and really it was just wanting to be different, wanting to set ourselves apart. And then it just kind of clicked for me that this is a plant, this is a spirit, this is a way of living that is really very closely related to sustainable living practices, sustainable business practices. And then when you start to inject that element of your lifestyle with a wonderful spirit, the culture that comes with agave plants, obviously the indigenous and Hispanic culture, it's rooted in just truly simple farmers that are working to make ends meet and provide for their family. It literally, Gina, touched on every element of who I am as a person. And the fact that I could kind of co-found this, really probably more of the founder of it on some levels, and do something impactful for Tucson and Southern Arizona, I mean, it was just kind of a perfect storm in so many ways. And now that it's become a real platform, I can't even keep up with it. It will become something that needs an executive director. It's unbelievable. In the next 3 to 5 years, Tucson will be the epicenter of basically all things agave once a year in the United States of America, reaching down into the most southern parts of Mexico, you know, the Yucatan Peninsula, all the way over to Europe. You mark my words, you archive this podcast, and in 2024, 23, this festival will become something that Tucson will unbelievably will have so much impact that it'll be hard to imagine.
And I hope that I'm still doing podcasts then. I'll be well into my 70s, but I plan on it. I'm going to be Jane Goodall. I mean, we can't talk about her much more, but 85 years old, and you should have seen her not miss a beat and not have a note and bring people to tears and laughter and all this stuff. So first of all, the website is, you know, I can just say it. It's my podcast. It's kick ass. That is the good way to say it. And it is. It's the agaveheritagefestival.com. And I just want to read a quote from the top of it. It's a beautiful work of art. That's what the website is. But here's the agave. The agave, in short, was meat, drink, clothing, and writing materials for the Aztec. Surely, never did nature enclose in so compact a form so many of the elements of human comfort and civilization. And that's a quote from William Prescott. And the thing is, when I went, you invited me to a film, and I think Katie and I went, about the cultural symbolism and how it's included in ceremonies, the agave, the sacredness of it is the word I was looking for. Yeah. But also, the other short film was about how many uses there are for it. And I want to underscore, in a very dry, arid, hot climate, which if anyone didn't get the notice, the Southwest is heading even more in that direction. So the value of the agave, to me, is going to be elevated as well, the importance of it. So when did you start doing the festival? How long, when your light bulb went on, how many years ago was that? Because it's grown so much, it's festival, unreal.
Yeah. It started 11 years ago as a singular event, but the light bulb came on. This will be essentially the third year of what I would call a truly unique festival. It's the fourth year where we were stringing together multiple events, culinary, education, culture, and obviously spirits. I mean, agave is what it is. It's tequila to the core.
Tequila. And mezcal.
So, you know.
And there's lots of tequila jokes that get thrown around there. Anytime you're around, it's fun.
Gary Nabhan is going to be in the Tucson Weekly. He wrote an article on the Tucson Basin and the agave plants. And as this plant was literally cultivated 1,000 years ago by the Hohokam, the Tohono O'odham Nation, the Paskiyaki tribe, where they were using this product for, like you said, anything between spirit all the way to food and fiber for shoes and clothes. And we could speak to the cultural significance of it, but what I want to do is not try to, you know, convey the cultural significance myself. I want the platform for the Hohokam Nation, the Tohono Nation. You know, right. I want them to be able to speak to this because I would do it injustice, quite frankly, but it's just that cool of a festival. It's that cool of a plant that deserves to have a platform where the world can kind of enjoy and get to know even more.
And there are so many events all over the city. But every year, I would assume, and I really don't know the answer to this, you have to kind of up the ante and do some different things because you change it up. A lot of the things work and they continue to work. But I mean, there's pages of events, and that's not kidding. And the graphics, I just wish everybody who was listening to this picked up, takes their phone and just scrolls down and look at the gorgeousness of, you know, like on the whims imagery of sustainability, a pollinator summit and brunch. Like I'm salivating in all of them. And like I said, the images. But what are some of the new things that you're going to do this year that are exciting? Everything's exciting. If you haven't been, there's something for everyone.
Well, there's three events. If you come to the Friday, April 26th event at the Fox Theater called Ignite Agave, you'll capture the essence of the Sonoran region, the essence of the agave plant, and what the festival best represents. I mean, that one is going to be amazing because it's at the Fox Theater, a historic property that's been renovated and has helped rejuvenate downtown. So that one on Friday, April 26th is great. There's one on Friday, May 3rd, that's at the Carriage House called Agave Spirit of the World. We're bringing in four international mixologists to partner up with our local bartenders to do this essentially fun cocktail tasting with agave as the singular spirit, but allowing these mixologists from Brussels, I think we have one coming from Belgium, just to come in and experience our heritage ingredients, our heritage spirits, because why not come here and enjoy a sense of place if you're going to do anything? And I'll tell you, the one that's probably, it's not different, but it's probably most exciting for me is our dinner. We're doing an agave heritage dinner on that same night, Friday, May 3rd, but we're bringing down Chef Chris Bianco, who is a James Beard Award winner, coming into town to help put together an amazing menu, which is also, I'm losing my train of thought here. It's focusing on the Three Sisters farming technique, which is another very regional-based farming technique where squash, corn, and beans all work together symbiotically to kind of allow for them to be the best possible arid tolerance crop you can have. So we're focusing on squash. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit kind of long-winded with that. But that dinner features Chris Bianco out of Phoenix, as well as a gentleman named Tony Abu Ghanem, who is an internationally renowned mixologist, an author, been in this industry for 25 plus years. Just a really kind of star-studded event.
And I don't think it was long-winded at all. It's your enthusiasm. That's what comes through. And here's what I want to say that's so important to me. So many of these things, because I am a social justice, you know, you can't have a sustainable planet without a socially just one. So here's this Ignite Agave. It's at the Fox Theater, which, you know, we just had brunch with a couple that come and they winter here from Wisconsin. And like they were swooning about the beauty, just the beauty of the Fox Theater as an icon within Tucson anyway. So here's the deal that I loved, and it almost brought me to tears, which you know is not hard, but in this case, it was also very legitimate. It's $5 for general admission, and that is one of the things. There's all these great events, and then you see the prices, you know, $150 and $250, and I understand why tickets cost that much, because usually they're a fundraiser, and a part of it, you have to raise money to do things, but a VIP ticket for this is $45, and I looked at it, I was like, really? And it's Chef Brian from Maynard's Market and this guy, Kevin Fink of Emmer and Rye. I don't even know what that is, but that's okay.
Well, let me tell you, Kevin Fink, the Hacienda del Sol, Zona 78.
Oh, my God. It's Rick Fink's son?
Rick Fink's son.
Oh my God. Don't tell Nancy that I said that.
No, I know. It's okay. But yeah, Kevin Fink went to Austin, is now one of the most sought after chefs in the country. He's an absolute celebrity, an absolute rock star in the world of local heritage, sustainable. He's doing amazing things. Yeah, we're bringing him back. And you touched upon it as well. The price point is very thoughtful. We have sponsors
very thoughtful
that are supporting this. We have Cisco Food Services, Visit Tucson, Rio Nuevo, 10 West Festival, that's Startup Tucson. They're all supporting this festival because, first of all, I wanted it for free, but we kind of decided you needed to have a little skin in the game so people would show up.
That's exactly right.
Truly, and part of the proceeds from this event go to the Tucson City Gastronomy nonprofit, but also the Bat Conservation International. And one of the presenting speakers, Rodrigo Medellin, who is commonly referred to as the Batman of Mexico, is a bat ecologist. So,
oh my gosh, I love it. I love it.
There's a method to my madness, Gina, I promise.
There is a method. And to me, it was so important that for everybody listening to this, you don't have to spend $150 to go out to the Fox Theater and have all of this experience that is, it's second to none. I mean, you'll get the agave fever is how I feel, whether you drink the tequila or not. that's a different kind of agave fever. But can you talk for a little bit about, there is a very intentional culinary component to this, a culinary experience, because there are lots of foodies out there. Tucson foodie, he probably goes crazy during this whole entire period. But tell us a little bit about the culinary experiences. What can people expect this year?
Well, what we're trying to do, obviously, agave to a very small portion of people, you know, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, was actually a source of food. So it's not really a source of food, but boy, it's a perspective on how you can best serve your community and your environment by using products that are native to your area, heritage and products, indigenous products, because those are much more viable in terms of having the ability to sustain. So the food and the culinary is around local products, local food, heritage food to the best of our ability, all just kind of composed in a thoughtful, tasty way. And we often try to pair it with a specific spirit, whether or not it's a Bacanora or a Mezcal. So it all works kind of like I mentioned earlier, symbiotically together to try and highlight and spread the awareness that when you're in Tucson or when you're in, Brazil or wherever you are, you want to experience that sense of place, and you don't experience a sense of place with ribs, or you don't experience a sense of place with a burger. I mean, those things are, you know, a dime a dozen everywhere. This is where you can interact with the squashes that are native to this area, the chiltepín peppers, all the different types of peppers, sweet and hot. From temporary beans, which I'm sure you're aware of, which is a very, very arid tolerant bean. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, the certain types of wheat that are very tolerant to this area that were brought over by Father Kino in the mid 1600s. Just highlighting the spirit of our region and our region's delicacies is really what the food is trying to be most about, but you still have to make it very tasty, and they still have to enjoy it.
It's so true. It's got to be good, and it is. It is just the appetizers. When we went to Tumamoc Hill last year, people went crazy. I mean, it's good. And you know, we glossed over Gary Nabhan's name, and I think about this a lot on the show. Tucson is a treasure trove for nationally and internationally recognized expert in many fields.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Gary Nabhan, he's so fun at this festival. And if he was sitting here listening, I would make him laugh too. Because the first word people think of to describe Gary might not be fun, because he's very intense, he's very smart, he's so knowledgeable. And he's like the first person that the New York Times or the Washington Post call when there's anything about food shortages and water security. Yep. And he's just walking around, I mean, making it all happen and probably enjoying some of the libations, but I'm not going to comment on that. So do you have a sense for, because I look at this very holistically when I'm not just excited about the individual events, do you have any sense for the impact that this festival makes on our region, not just on Tucson, but people come from all over. They come from Mexico. They come from other parts of our country. Do you have a sense for what type of impact? I mean, Visit Tucson probably does, but it makes a big impact economically, which is good and sustainable for all of us.
Well, I'll be very honest with you. I'm not there yet. I'm not able to calculate the true economic impact. And that's a goal of this year's festival. But I mean, to that point is we have people coming from Mexico, Santa Barbara, San Diego, Chicago. We have a gentleman coming from the East Coast. His name is David Suro. He runs basically an agave exchange around conservation and agave bat pollination. We have two chefs from Texas. I mean, we have people coming from all over the world through a food symposium called the Daily's Food Network. So I will have those numbers for you next year on this exact same podcast. So for all of those listeners out there, just come down. Don't worry about the economic
exactly.
impact. Worry about libations and education. And
Once you get there, you just can't explain it. And, you know, yeah. I have to say this about what I call I actually call it the compound. I don't call it a complex. I call it the Hotel Congress compound because it's like a little bubble you walk into. And here's an example. The other night, we had the celebration of the 2030 district becoming an official district, one of like 31 or 21 in the country. And we all had a blast, and it was a very successful event, well attended, lots of celebration. And then everybody says, do you want to go down to Congress? And of course, there's bands every flipping night. So I got shamed into going. I'm freaking 78 years old. I'm like, it's 9:30. I'm not going out to Congress. Well, long story short, of course I did. And here's what I love. Everybody has fun there. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. People were dancing. They were dancing by themselves. They were having fun. It's just a fun place. And I danced the night away till like 11:30. I looked at the clock and I said, it's 11:30. I got to go home before I turn into a pumpkin. But it's a vibe. That's what
it's
I was
real.
Saying. It's a vibe. It's so
real, authentic
All
place.
People are welcome there. That's what I'd say. All people. And the staff, the beat goes on. So putting you on the spot. Do you have a favorite event, and do you have a favorite presenter that you're willing to disclose? What does Todd have to say about what event are you most excited for, if you can pick?
I honestly think that I'm probably most excited for, and this speaks to your socially justice approach, the Agave Expo, which I didn't even mention, but I'll mention right now because it's on Saturday, May 4th, and it's free. Come down to the Hotel Congress, and it's about education, spirits, culture, music. It's kind of what you just described, and what better place to have that as than the Hotel Congress Plaza, the first floor. I mean, we have presentations from people that are coming up from Mexico City to talk about their particular line of mezcal that's giving back to their region through socio and economic reinvestments. His name is Alex White from Res Peral. We have the Sonoran Desert Museum that's coming out and just telling us about different elements of agave gardening and succulents. It's going to be, that day is going to be in particular hilarious. The Hub Ice Creamery, I don't often give a shout out to the Hub, but they're putting together this, I think it's a prickly pear lollipop. It's just going to be, that day is going to be kind of probably the most approachable, family-friendly event that we're going to have outside of the Cinco de Mayo. But that one's, that's up at the Tohono O'Toole. So I'm really excited about the Agave Expo. You can come down and purchase agave plants from, I think we're at this point, locked down 3 nurseries coming in to sell plants and just create this kind of real community vibe around our region and through kind of the perspective, what I call the lens of the agave plant.
And, I just want to, what came up for me, I have this habit now that I say this just in, and that means just in my head. I brought people down there a couple of weeks ago that I introduced you to. They're friends of mine, and he is the COO of Bookman's, another Tucson treasure. And he had never been to the Cup, and I'm not saying his name, and it's not about shaming, but he said, we just don't come down here much because of parking. And I said to him, Jim, you've got to be kidding me. That is not a problem in Tucson downtown. You just think it is because you're looking at what's on the street. There is adequate parking all over the city. There's 2 garages that you can park in. One's across from you, like Caddy Corner, and the other is by what is it, 47 Scott or 57
yep,
Scott?
Yep, Penny,
I don't know.
Pennington Garage.
Yeah, there's, you can always find parking and it's not a problem. And if you're from a big city, you can be able to do that. So don't let that stop you.
Yeah.
And I said, Jim, that's a weak excuse. But he loved it. He said, boy, there is a vibe down here. And I think they'll be down there more. So don't do it because, don't not do it because of the parking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then,
Uber, Lyft,
and it's so inexpensive in Tucson, and you're supporting someone's, you know, college education or something. That's the way I feel. We do that too for the Agave Festival. It's really a good idea if you're going to be having a really good time. So we did mention it about where to go, the agaveheritagefestival.com, Agave Heritage Festival. Sorry, Delise would kill me. But all of these things, you don't have to ever write them down because Kelly does such a great job. They'll all be on the show page with links to all of this, the Facebook page, Hotel Congress, it's all there. And I just want to thank you. I have this expression, pace of the leader, pace of the team. And even though I'm part of the team that teases you unmercifully at times, it's all in good fun, and it's there's good things happening down there, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Well, I'm proud to be a part of it. I wouldn't have our relationship any other way. It would be pretty boring if you weren't teasing me and I wasn't sending you random
people
text messages.
Think we were mad at each other. I know.
Seriously.
I know, it's so funny. So I want to talk about two upcoming shows that are also wonderful. I want to give a shout out to the Hotel Congress Green Team. They're my besties, and I'm going down to a meeting today at 3:00 without Rita, which we'll have a moment of silence, but she has to work going to learn things. Okay, so on April 16th, David Kruidsma, he's the director of Research Global Fishing Watch, and this will blow your mind. From ground to the cloud, finding new solutions for environmental stewardship, and I already recorded that show, and what they're doing from satellites in space and how they're using it to control fishing and illegal fishing will blow your mind. It blew mine. Oh, it's going to be amazing. And then on April 18th, our really good friend Christina Palsgrove, and they are facing lots of challenges right now. She's the public information officer for the City of Tucson Department of Environmental and General Services. And what we're going to talk about is reducing single-use items and Earth Day gift. So here's my last word, and I'm going to take a deep breath. As a mission-based organization, we're committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable. This is yet another one of our shows that helps remind us that people who care and realize that they are a part of the climate change solution can take a very old property with lots of moving parts, lots of staff, and prove that being sustainable and green can really be imaginative, rewarding, and fun, and benefit the planet. The Hotel Congress property and that staff who work there are living, breathing, successful examples of what it means to be a part of an organization that is truly committed to creating and sustaining a world that works for everyone. We're proud of our partnership with them, and we do our part to help create brand identity as the true leaders in sustainability in an industry that can present many challenges to make good things happen. We're proud of our partnership with this compound. Thanks for being a part of it. And Todd, thanks so much. It's been a blast. And of course, we went over 30 minutes, and who cares?
You are always, always great. We'll see you today.
We'll see you later, alligator, and I'll show you all my pictures with Jane Goodall.
I'm excited.
Oh my gosh.